This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Couple more random World Series rings winners. This is a fascinating piece. Former Padre Trevor Rosenthal had a 22 ERA for the Washington Nationals in 2019. Congratulations on your World Series ring. I mean, you know, guys who don't have one. Tony Gwynn.
Mike Trout.
Ted Williams.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Barry Bonds. Jesus, dude. Like, the goats of the goats. Like, the goats of... you can't say the goats of all time.
The greatest of all time.
The goats of the goat.
But Taylor Trammell is going to have one at the end of this World Series.
I mean, it's wild. It is just wild to think about that. And did they ask him how he feels about it?
They did.
That's a great feeling going into it, just putting your feet up going, I'm getting one either way. I'll either surf or ski.
Yeah, he seems like okay with it. He says, I get a ring now, and that's just a cool thing to say. For me, this is so awesome because I can say I'm a World Series champion now.
I think, it's all personal feeling. I would want to contribute at some level, and going 0-for-5 isn't really a contribution other than maybe you played some defense that day, got a guy off his feet or something. I have no idea, man.
When I saw this story, the first thing that came to mind, and I know it's not the right comparison, but like, say the Padres win it all in 2025.
Right.
Joe Musgrove.
Yeah.
He will not throw a single pitch.
Yeah.
He will contribute almost nothing to the World Series run next year.
As far as games played on the field, none.
Now, he's a bad example because obviously Joe has put in the work. But
100%.
Take another pitcher that's on the roster that has Tommy John and misses an entire year. How does that person really feel about that ring?
I mean, look, I think knowing Joe just even a little bit, as happy as he would be to be part of the team that got the first World Series championship to San Diego.
I know Joe wouldn't appreciate it as much.
He would be gritting his teeth, but he'd be elated also because it's his hometown team
again,
that he's pitched a no-hitter for. And
guy grew up here. He has put in the work.
He's a Padre.
He has laid his roots down here as a Padre.
He's a Padre.
But take another guy that you got on a 2-year deal and one of, you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be there. That's the guy that gets the ring, and he's like, they won.
Yeah.
They won.
Yeah, Joe's a bad example just because he's absolutely earned one as a Padre. You know, he's earned it. And even though he didn't help you get it, it would kill him, too. Trust me. He would not want that. He would want a ring, but he would not, if he had his way, he'd want to be pitching Game 7.
A better example would be, like, an injured player. Like, let's say Ha-Sung Kim goes, signs with the Giants next year, but never recovers from his surgery. Has never played an inning for the team in his life.
Right. And they win a ring.
But he gets one.
Yeah.
It's like, that would be kind of the weird example.
And we don't know because we're not part of that fraternity. You know, I'm sure if Tony Gwynn Jr. was listening right now, he's probably screaming at his radio. You know what I mean? Like, we're not in that fraternity. We don't know what it means.
So we're asking the questions.
Just asking the questions here. Yeah. We're not judging anybody. Right. But I think, knowing Joe Musgrove, he would be like, okay, yes, thanks so much. But Joe wants the ball in Game 7. You know, like it's a different thing. But he's also earned his stripes there, certainly. Oh, this is a good point, Jay. I remember Jack Haley. Jack Haley got an NBA ring for literally being Dennis Rodman's keeper.
I think was a valuable skill.
Honestly,
on that team.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. I was in Chicago at that time.
I mean, coaches get rings. He was kind of in a way... A coach on that team.
How many minutes
that
did that guy
be a player,
play? How many minutes did he play in at most in a season?
I mean, coaches get rings. You know, trainers get rings. We all think they contribute. Why does a player who may not be playing, he may contribute in other ways as well, just as much as a staffer or a coach does?
I had completely forgotten that Jack Haley existed. back in the day in Chicago. I mean, it was just nuts. He averaged 9.6 minutes in his career, but back in those days in Chicago.
It's only 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
He played in one game.
7 minutes.
7 minutes.
You saw a lot of him on the bench, though, I felt like.
They panned to him a lot on the bench. That's so good.
Reaction shots. He was the guy for
Steve scored five points.
Steve makes a good point here. Hypothetically, Joe should be proud knowing he helped lay the groundwork over the years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a groundwork guy, for sure.
I was talking more about the situation than the specific player.
Yep.
Mark Madsen on the Lakers was that guy. Reaction shot guy who won a championship.
Was that him? I'd be so good at being the last man on the bench in the NBA. I would be elite at it. Just the best. Glue guy.
Let's go.
Let's go. Firing everybody up. Oh, so good. What a gig.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods. A great prize today. We've got another pair of tickets to the sold-out Dia de los Deftones at Petco Park on November 2nd.
Oh, my God.
Coming up, Woodsy will be there. Oh. But if you want to win them, you got to beat or tie Woods and Take on Woods in a couple of minutes. So call in for your chance to take on the champ, 833-288-0973.
I actually want you guys to beat me so you get to go
to throw
this. I won't throw it, but man, it's just such a good
show. Well, if you win,
we'll give it away.
It goes out for everybody else later. So
it's just such a great night.
All right, 833-288-0973. Quickly, Thursday Night Football will be probably most talked about for the play at the end of the game, the safety. That was a clear face mask penalty on Byron Young of the Rams, but it was not called, and there's no reviews on face mask penalties. So that was 2 points, and it made it 30-20, and the Rams won the game. There was an outcry going, why can't you review that call? Something so obvious. What happened to the sky judge? Why can't you do that? And while, yes, they got it completely wrong, and they have to be officials have to be better. The example I used is you can't simply say because there was a penalty and you got it wrong that you should be able to review every single play. Because, yeah, but what if they had missed a holding, you know, call in the end zone? Does that mean you can review that play then? Because it was a scoring play on a safety or any. I mean, if the officials missed the call, they missed the call.
Yeah.
And there's not much you can do about it. You can't review pass interference. You can't. If you want to open Pandora's box to reviewing every play, every possible penalty,
yeah,
NFL games
other
will take
calls,
5 hours.
You can have them review them. Like maybe
no, you can't. You can't really review a missed call. You can review a flag,
a wrong.
Yeah, and then you can they can go back and look at it. But if you don't make the call, you can't all of a sudden then. Hey, can we just take a look at that whole play and make sure no one committed a penalty on that play? Because I think someone did.
Yeah.
What if
you're probably if you're looking for one, you'll probably find one.
Yeah. All right. What if they made a rule? Within the last 2 minutes of each half, any potential scoring play or any play within the red zone, like something that matters, is reviewable.
Again, everything matters in a close game in the last 2 minutes. So you'd be reviewing.
You're not reviewing the pass when they're on their own 30, but the pass where they're like on their own 5 and trying to get into the end zone. Like I don't know. I'm just trying to.
I know you're trying to fix it, and it seems like it should be a really easy fix. But I don't think you can without, you know, if you have to actually write down a rule, it will be exploited by teams that are looking for an edge, which means they will use it inappropriately to try to gain an edge. Oh, no, there was clearly a holding on that play that you didn't call.
Well,
and since we're inside the 20.
Trying to get an edge by face masking and getting away with it.
No. I mean, he didn't even try to get away with it. He clearly knew he face masked. I mean, you might as well just have the honesty system and go.
The honesty system.
Did you do it? I did it.
Yes, I did.
It was a face mask.
George Washington over here. There is an eye in the sky, right? Somebody could absolutely. Hey, face mask.
You could.
Mask zero, right?
But then why didn't you do it on the play before for a different goal?
There wasn't a face mask.
Well, yeah, but there was probably a holding that wasn't called.
Okay,
let's talk about something massively egregious, right?
Then that was a massively egregious
play.
How do you
define massively egregious?
When a guy's head gets ripped around 180 degrees, I'd say is fairly egregious. I thought Sam Darnold handled it really well after the game. He said, look, it is what it is. I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in that situation. So we got to continue to play better and not
put ourselves in that situation. It's a scoring play, Roberto says. It should be reviewed on a scoring play.
Yeah, the safety.
All right, so if someone catches a touchdown and there's no penalty called, should the defense be able to say, hey, it was a scoring play, I think the left tackle held on that play.
And it costs you a challenge if they review it, and in fact, you wasted everybody's time and there was no penalty.
Yeah, but, I mean, there probably was, because there are uncalled penalties on every single play.
Well, stop cheating, then.
That's just not how it works in football. Okay, the offensive receiver pushed off a little bit, you know, which happens on almost every play.
Yep.
If you review it, I judge, did he do it? Well, yeah, he did.
They did it.
But we didn't call it in the course of the play, because that's, you know, we don't feel like it made a big deal. But on replay, of course, it clearly he pushed. So do you take the touchdown away?
Look, it's the same thing in baseball. You can't foul balls and stuff. Why can I not look down the line and see if that got chalk? Right? It's just dumb. Like, that's an easy one to do. That last night was an easy one. It's an easy one to. It's not even. That call's not even an easy... It's hard to miss that call. That's the weird part. Two guys are responsible for that, and both of them were, quote-unquote, blocked. If you have eyes on the quarterback, you cannot miss that call.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, it's almost impossible to miss that call.
Final official?
The head guy, Oz.
Who is watching the game on television, who can't be blocked because he's got camera angle, and he just goes... Penalty. Just, you know, yells it down, like, drop a flag. Someone drop a flag. And then I'll tell you what it was at the end of the play. Someone drop a flag.
Yeah.
Because you missed it. And I will tell you now what the penalty is. It was egregious. I saw it. You missed it. Let's call this and get it right.
Every sport can do better with this. Every sport can do better.
So anyway, big win for the Rams, though,
huge.
Like, 2-3 days ago, they were talking, maybe Cooper Kupp's going to get traded. All of a sudden, he comes back. Puka Nacua comes back. Surprise.
Matthew Stafford's lighting it up.
And now, I mean, they're just 3-4, but that division is very mid right now. I think it's the Seahawks at 4-3. Every other team is 3-4. So the Rams are right back in the middle of it and looking pretty good after that game last night.
Pauly and I both had the Vikings as our lock last night, so that didn't go very well.
Short week on the road. That was an unforced error by you guys.
That was.
It's all right. Short week on the road.
It happens.
All right, so we got some contestants calling in. Let's get to it. It is time for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go to Alfredo. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Alfredo. Good morning to you. Good luck. You're going for those Dia de los Deftones tickets at Petco Park on November 2nd. The show also featuring the Idols, Paris, Texas, and more. You get to choose our category. We got one of those that's becoming kind of a nuclear option on the chessboard, still sitting there.
Oh, boy.
Chess pieces represented in those questions. Blank like blank, 5 song titles that feature phrases connected by the word like. And our new category, W, 5 bands with 1-word names that start with W. So on the chessboard, blank like blank or W. Alfredo, what do you want to play?
W.
All right. Another new category off the board today. Yeah, 5 bands. Again, just 1-word band names, and they all start with W. You have 60 seconds. Pass if you don't know one. First question is the 2-second song. Pauly will play you a song by a band that starts with W. You need to give me both the song title and the band name for that point. The rest of them, just the 1-word band names. Alfredo, you ready to play?
Yep.
All right. Let's put the 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Pauly plays the music. The category W. Good luck, Alfredo. Let's take on Woods. What's with his homies
kissing my girl? Buddy Holly Weezer.
Correct. David Coverdale left Deep Purple and formed which band famous for 80s hits Here I Go Again and Is This Love?
Pass.
Andrew Ridgely and George Michael teamed up to form which 80s English pop duo?
Wham.
Correct. Which 70s band from California had hits including Why Can't We Be Friends, but are most famous for a song about a car that begins with tapping on a cowbell?
Yes.
With songs like I Might and You Never Know, which modern rock band from Chicago is named after military shorthand for Heard Understood?
Pass.
David Coverdale left Deep Purple and formed which band famous for 80s hits Here I Go Again and Is This Love?
Whitesnake.
Correct. Which 70s band from California had hits including Why Can't We Be Friends?
War.
Oh, and he snuck it out at the end. Yeah. So that's four. That might be good enough. We got Buddy Holly by Weezer, Whitesnake, Wham, War, most famous for Lowrider. That's the cowbell tapping song. The one you didn't get, heard, understood, military shorthand, Wilco. I don't know if Woods will know that one or not. I think he will. Should be a 5-4. We will find out. All right, Alfredo's score is locked in.
Get your ass in here.
I thought I saw like a half-ass wave. I wasn't sure, so
it's fine. All right, Woodsy doesn't get the category. Score to beat is set. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Alfredo.
Buddy Holly, Weezer.
Correct. David Coverdale left Deep Purple and formed which band?
Whitesnake.
Correct. Andrew Ridgely and George Michael teamed up to form which 80s
Wham.
Band? Correct. Which 70s band from California had hits including Why Can't We Be Friends, but are most famous for...
War.
Correct. With songs like I Might and You Never Know, which modern rock band from Chicago is named after military shorthand for Heard?
Wilco.
Understood.
Yeah,
told you. 5-4. That was it. Alfredo, good try.
Sorry, Matt.
But the master has spoken today in the category of...
W's.
W. Yeah.
W.
One-word bands starting with W.
Some great ones in there, man.
Unfortunately, Alfredo's loss could be your win.
Yes, we will give away those Deftones, Dia de los Deftones tickets later on in the program.
When is that show? The second.
Next Saturday.
It's a week from tomorrow.
Very excited.
All right, we'll come back. Don't Do This is next.
We have to talk about the umpires that are going to be working the World Series.
All right, I saw you guys bringing this up yesterday.
And I know you have a Ben-splanation for it, but it still doesn't make any sense to me at all. Ooh. And I actually reached out to a friend of the program for an explanation.
Oh, I'm curious now. Okay.
Yeah, Jesse Agler and I were texting about this yesterday, and he gave me his excuse, but I still don't buy it.
All right, that is coming up next after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
A little DDT on a Friday. Let's see. I want to start with an update on a DDT story from earlier this week. The two-game PED suspension for the Detroit Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams, who's had a checkered career, to say the least, already.
Gambling?
Gambling.
PEDs.
PEDs. Something else, wasn't there? Paulie did that story earlier this week.
Yeah.
So he released the statement. We've seen many of these statements over the years of, I didn't know that it was in this cream, or I didn't know that, the supplement was tainted. Lots of different excuses that have been offered by athletes after they have been suspended. I thought this one was a different tactic, and he's going to go with the full denial. This week, I was notified by the NFL that I have been suspended for a violation of the performance-enhancing substances policy. The news came as a complete surprise that I am still trying to understand. I don't take supplements or vitamins, and I am overly cautious about even taking over-the-counter medicine. At no time have I ever taken something in an attempt to cheat or look for an unfair advantage. I understand that I am responsible for everything that goes into my body, and I have to take accountability in this instance. And then he continues, nothing but love and respect, yada, yada. So he's basically saying, I have zero clue whatsoever how it happened.
Tough to find something in a supplement or a vitamin or a shake if you don't take any of those.
Yeah.
Which is why.
So either he is boldly lying.
Right.
And is juicing on purpose or is taking supplements and doesn't want you to know about it. Or, in this case, I almost feel like genuinely bad. Like, feels like that could happen to anyone.
Bad test.
I have not I really haven't taken anything. I have no idea how this could have gotten into my system, and yet I have to suffer the consequences
for
it.
You know, and the thing is I'm not super up to code with what is and isn't considered in the NFL, a performance-enhancing
drug. It's
incredibly
complicated, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is. It's massively complicated. You know, Major League Baseball is a little bit different. But, you know, the funny thing is, man, people that are looking for an edge, usually they are one step ahead, usually. I mean, there's usually ways around it. And for everyone that gets caught, Benny, there's probably 10, 12, 15, 20 that don't. So, interesting case. So, is he going, I would then assume, if you're telling me I failed it because of X and I don't take this.
You could appeal, but what would be you have no argument. You're like, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, because
and
we don't know what he got popped for.
There's pretty much a 0%, leeway on it.
Yeah.
You know, the test says what the test says.
Yeah.
Unless you can prove basically like someone came at you with a needle, and you've got it on video that they like attacked you with steroids.
Big shot of testosterone right into me. I have no idea what that happened, but I will do everything I can to get to not do that again.
I was at the airport.
Yeah,
we got security footage. This guy just came at me with a hypodermic needle and stabbed me in the arm.
All I know is my recovery's been great. I feel 10 years younger.
That's like a movie plot. Like, guy wants to get his... like the opposing team star athlete out for the year.
Takes him out for drinks and just spikes his stuff.
It's kind of creepy sounding.
All right, so this doesn't make any sense to me, but yesterday, Umpire Auditor, which is a great, great Twitter account if you don't like umpires. It's great. They announced the World Series umpires, and I think it's the Dish. That's who they have on the Dish, right? Game one will be Carlos Torres, who is ranked 32 of 90 umpires. This is his first World Series.
Who is doing the rankings? Because I know that Major League...
I think Umpire Auditor does.
Right, but that's not Major League Baseball's system. Major League Baseball says that they pick what they believe are the best umpires for the World Series.
Well,
so this obviously isn't their ranking system.
So this is... They take every call, right?
Right.
And they measure the accuracy, and they send out the scorecards, and they audit all the umpires.
Yeah, that's not the only measure of a good umpire.
But just listen to these numbers. So, again, we're talking the plate, if you're working the plate. So Carlos Torres is behind the Dish tonight. It's his first World Series game. He's ranked 32 out of 90. Andy Fletcher will be at game two behind the Dish. He is ranked 73rd. Mark Carlson, Game 3, is ranked 49th. Doug Eddings has the Dish in a World Series Game 4. Doug Eddings. Mark Rippiger, good umpire. 18th. He is the highest-ranked umpire that Umpire Auditor has. 18th. So 1 through 17 left off. Chad Fairchild, 37th, will work Game 6 if needed. And Game 7, Todd Tishner, ranked 24th as needed. So I texted Jesse Agler yesterday, and I said, so what am I missing here? I need somebody smarter than me to explain this to me. And Jesse said, my only thing would be they obviously don't weigh balls and strikes heavily at all when making selections. Obviously, one game behind the Dish, the rest on the field. I would say, too, if you look at postseason, the guys have generally been much better with balls and strikes than their averages have said during the regular season. I said, yeah, that's absolutely true. He said, it is a weird look. I can't. It's hard when you have the rankings and you're like, 1 through 17, you guys are out. The number one best umpire behind the Dish is not working one single game in the World Series or one game behind the plate. The best guy at calling balls and strikes, you're out. Number two, you're done. Number three, you're out. Four, and so on.
Well, the best guy had been Pat Hoberg, but then he got the gambling thing. So I don't know that you can put him back behind the plate for a World Series game this year.
I'm telling you, man, watch it. Game four is much must-see.
Do
TV.
They? Maybe Eddings. I don't know if you asked Jesse about this. Do they try to keep like crews together though?
Because I don't know.
They're used to working with each other. Or are they completely like all-star crews once you get to the postseason and the World Series? Because like in the NFL, they keep mostly I think the crews together. Like the best-rated crew gets the Super Bowl,
that's
but they
fine.
Don't. Because, you know,
but it better be the best rated.
I mean, I guess in baseball, you're not really relying on other umpires for anything. You're simply your own person.
Jay in the chat says, I'd rather have Lieutenant Frank Drebin behind the plate than Doug Eddings.
Enrico Palazzo?
Hurl, it's the greatest seed in any movie. It's just the best. There's just nothing like that. Doug Eddings, game 4 in New York, must-see TV. If you weren't going to watch the World Series, you now have a reason. 1 through 17, left off. 1 through 17. It's crazy to me. Crazy.
All right, finally, I think you'll like this one. I'm going to give a doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
To Bill Belichick, who is standing up for his new girlfriend. Now, you remember his new girlfriend, the one he met on the plane, who was a cheerleader?
College cheerleader.
Yeah.
She's 24.
Probably. She's now 24. Jordan Hudson is her name. But Jordan Hudson found herself in the crosshairs of a New England area radio show, Kiss 108's Billy and Lisa in the Morning, where one of the hosts, Winnie Akuri, started trashing her for being just a Division III cheerleader.
Oh. I thought it was going to be for dating an elderly man.
No. She said, she said it's not even like competition level. I could have been a Bridgewater State cheerleader. Do we have any of the audio here?
I think so.
Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson.
Jordan. Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about her. She's a cheerleader, former cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's dating Bill.
Yeah.
She's 49 years older. That's kind of the story. We've been talking about it.
Yeah.
And Winnie made some comments on the show on Monday about Jordan and her cheerleading career. Let me play that for you real quick here.
She was Bridgewater State cheerleader, which is Division III, which isn't even like competition level. I could have been a Bridgewater State cheerleader.
So, you know, if you're a regular listener of the Billy and Lisa show, you know Winnie, she likes to pop off at the mouth. And, well, Jordan was listening, or someone that knows Jordan was listening, and she posted a picture of her pointing a championship ring at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote, "At Winnie's World, I would like to extend an invitation for you to attend the winter tryout for the 8-time national champion cheerleading program at BSU Cheerleading."
Got to know your stuff.
You better know your stuff.
And then Bill posted on, I think, Instagram, picture of him wearing the national championship Bridgewater State University cheerleading t-shirt.
Yeah, he's going to bat for his...
He's got his girl. He's got her back.
They're a nice couple.
It is surprising because you wouldn't, with a 50-year age difference, it seems creepy, but they actually seem like a
I've seen
a
pictures
nice
of them out and about, and it like a nice father and daughter.
It doesn't seem creepy.
Grandfather
it is
and
creepy.
Granddaughter. I know.
Hey, if they're happy, power to them.
More power to
but
them.
But it doesn't seem creepy. It is creepy. 48-year difference?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I'm repulsed.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It'd be like, to see Woods' reaction to Boston accents.
Side note.
It would be you at 72 marrying somebody that was born last year.
I don't want to think about it.
There you go.
Disgust me so
much.
Paulie, how do we loop in to their show and just play their show on the air and react to it, I don't know, every day until spring training? Because I want to do that. That's good radio. I just want to listen to them again and copy their words.
I got to do some more research on Kiss 108.
Billy and Lisa featuring Winnie.
Winnie.
Popping off in
Jordan
the morning.
Popping off. I love it. I love it so
friggin'
much.
Jordan.
Jordan, you're running your mouth again. I could picture what Winnie looks like. If you've ever seen Good Will Hunting, the girls in the bar, that's what I pictured. Right?
I'll show you.
All right,
during the commercial break.
All right.
We will come back. We had a gold member stream last night.
We did. It was a lot of fun.
We usually keep everything private, but the topic did turn to something in the current events spectrum
that pretty major
I know you guys
news.
Wanted to bring up. So we'll do that next here on 97.3 The Fan. I want to apologize because yesterday, well, we were talking about some of the features at the new Intuit Dome for the Clippers, and I left one out that Woods was raving about this morning.
Looked incredible. It's the big video screen, and it's just like it's out of the future. And they've got like Kawhi Leonard, like, hey, and he shoots what looks like a basketball, but it's actually a T-shirt. And then it shoots out of a hole into the crowd. So it looks like
his hand gets right to the top of the board.
Yeah.
And then right up at the top of the board, there's like a T-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
So
shoots out.
When it looks like he's shooting a free throw, it's actually shooting a T-shirt out to the crowd from the stadium video board.
Place is insane. It is insane.
And they said that video board, they've only used about 12% of its capability so far.
Kind of like our brains.
It's they have some plans for the rest of the season that they have yet to even unleash on the Clippers fans. So, it's pretty pretty spectacular stuff.
It is.
And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Did you watch any NBA last night?
I did not watch NBA last night. We had the live stream that we do for our gold members. And then as soon as that was done, I went in, put the kids to bed, and then I watched Disclaimer. The latest episode of Disclaimer with Cate Blanchett and Kevin Kline, which is just the best show on TV. Has anybody tried it yet? Either of you guys?
I have not tried it yet.
Even after the episode I told you about that will make you...
No, I'll get to it.
Insane.
You intrigued me enough that it's on the list now.
Whoever young Cate Blanchett is very talented. Seductive. Man, the show is it's unbelievable. It's really artsy, but it's really good. Really good. Remember how True Detective was when it came out?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, and you watched it the first time and you go, I'm not smart enough to watch this show. I need to rewatch it. But at the third watch of that, it really hit home. This one grabs you in pretty good. So the new one was out, so I watched that instead. And I watched the end of the Thursday Night Football game. But we were on the live stream last night and we got to talking to Ben Higgins, our friendly neighborhood sports anchor. And Ben was at work at Channel 10. And I said, where are you right now? And you said, well, I'm in our conference room here. There's a lot of hubbub around Channel 10 today because of the news that broke yesterday. And I think a lot of people right now are talking about this. The Menendez brothers, right? We all remember the case when we were younger.
Paulie then. Probably a little young for it.
Yeah, for when it happened.
Certainly you and I. I mean, it was absolute, like before OJ.
Yeah.
This was
1989.
The giant tabloid courtroom coverage, like daily news update that you got on the Menendez brothers
every
trial.
Day. I mean, I was 14 when it happened. It was just insane. And, you know, these guys brutally murdered their parents and then went on like a spending rampage and ran from police, I think, for a while, then turned themselves in or got caught and have been in prison pretty much ever since. And
prison here in San Diego.
In San Diego.
You know,
yeah.
I like to
San
localize
Diego connection,
stories.
So, right yes. down the street.
Maybe, Donovan State Prison.
Maybe
they're here.
Maybe they're listening. Good morning, Eric and Lyle.
But do you are allowed to have radios in prison?
I think so. I've seen pictures lately of inmates playing PlayStation. So I think it's not as bad as maybe it used to be.
Transistor radio is probably very common. We may have a lot of
prisoner inmates.
Prisoner listeners.
Tier ones.
Absolutely. Love to have you. Welcome to the program.
Yeah. Love to have you guys.
Don't commit any more crimes.
Right.
Though.
Use this time for good.
Perfect.
So Ben said it's been insane yesterday because of the news that broke about the Menendez brothers. And I had seen it just kind of flickering on the news that are they going to be retried?
The prosecuting, basically, attorneys have recommended, based on, you know, new evidence and the totality of the case and the extenuating circumstances involving, and if you watched the Netflix special,
it's insane.
It's a dramatization, but, you know, the abuse that they suffered at the hands of the dad and the mom that didn't protect them, that this would not be a special circumstances case anymore, and that they should, instead of having two life sentences without parole, at least be eligible to get out with parole like you would in a similarly tried case. So there is the possibility that if the judge agrees, then they could be up for parole, which would, you know, allow them maybe a chance to get out of prison.
So, yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, and I asked, you know, was this coming down the pipeline and Ryan Murphy knew about it and put out the most perfectly timed Netflix show maybe in history?
Yeah.
Or did the show come out and that spark people to go, maybe we should take a second look at everything that went down in this case? And then I guess there was another documentary that was more newsy and not a dramatization, no actors, like the real footage. And that was the documentary that kind of brought people's attention back to the case and going, maybe we should revisit this. And from what I was like reading yesterday and hearing, like they have been as much of a model citizen as
a prisoner can be.
Prisoner,
double murder.
Yeah, Channel 10 reporters, they like talked to prison guards who said nothing but really like nice things about the Menendez brothers, that they help other inmates and they have not gotten in any trouble at all. And none of this changes the fact that they did, you know,
murder their parents
with a shotgun in their house. That That is not in dispute. No one is going to, you know, find them not guilty. They didn't do it sort of thing. The question is, you know, if you were put in similar circumstances, you know, how would you, what would you have done? Would you have, you know, snapped like they did? Is there any way you can ever have an extenuating circumstance for murdering your own parents? Obviously, they should not have handled it the way they did.
Yeah, I don't know that it was like a, I don't know. I mean, I had one observation from the whole thing yesterday when I was watching the thing, and then I've seen the pictures, that Ben Higgins could be the third Menendez brother. You have there's a look about you that you, look, there it is, that you, and we've talked about this before.
Benendez.
You could have been the cousin, maybe. Or, I mean, that's like scarily accurate.
There's a dark haired country club vibe that I think does kind of fit all three of us, you know, so.
Now, you used to hang out with Scott. Out with Scott Peterson.
Yes.
Did you hang out with the Menendez?
I did not. I have never met either of the brothers.
It is.
Don't believe I'm related at all.
I don't know. That picture
looks very real.
Just out of the tennis courts, just normal Saturday.
Well, they were tennis players. I was a golfer.
That's
so,
true. Yeah. Well, you just finished up your round.
Cross paths. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's all the same country club.
It's all the same country club. All right.
Interesting.
Huh. I could look at that picture all day. I really could. So I don't know really how to feel about this.
I don't either.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to feel about it.
I haven't known how to feel about this case pretty much since I learned about
now,
it.
I do feel like if you kill your parents, you should be in prison forever. I think that's really what it boils down to for me. It doesn't matter how good you've been since. You shot your parents with a shotgun. Now,
but even if your parents were like
the absolute worst,
you still shouldn't shoot them, yes. But is there a way to rehabilitate and come back from that?
Like, is there not a part of you somewhere deep back there that goes, I can understand snapping.
Fine, but is there also a part of you guys that thinks, did they really do what they were accused of doing? They have no way to defend themselves because they got shot with a shotgun. Right.
Well,
was their dad mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does anybody, for no reason at all, just go and kill their parents? I can't imagine.
Money.
That.
I think part of what led to the resentencing, or at least all of this becoming a possibility, was that one of a member of Menudo confirmed that Jose Menendez did sexually abuse him, and he ended up taking his life.
Wow.
And that would that would fit the brothers' claims. And that's what led people to then going, maybe we should take another look at this.
Yeah, I'm kind of on this. That's a weird time for traffic.
Well, let's do it anyway. Go ahead, Paul.
Now
he's got to let it all recycle. Rewind the tape. Takes a little while to recompile.
Yeah, so. The good behavior stuff doesn't really move me much, you know. It's you know, you did the crime. I think you have to do the time, I think. Right.
Yes, but what is the time?
They were 21 and 19 when this happened. They could have left. Could have left and disavowed your parents.
No one's arguing that they did the right thing.
Right.
Question is, have they paid their debt yet? What is their actual debt here to society?
Reed says, do you think the parents abused the children? I don't know. They're dead. You know, they're dead. They can't really respond.
But when family members testified that they saw abuse, and then the Menudo member says the same thing. It does add to their claims.
I mean, if they were the most wholesome, loving parents in history, and they simply, their evil children decided to murder them for their money, wouldn't they have been, smarter to try to at least, not just go straight in and just shoot them with shotguns?
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like they were broken boys in some way. And, you know, to say that the parents didn't have anything to do with that, I think is silly. They obviously must have had something to do with that.
Yeah, and I don't know that, you know, abuse, being being tough or abusive parents warrants a death sentence. I don't know.
I mean, if I don't it's know. What if it's they that, were claiming, what it's saying, borderline. Yeah.
What about like an abused word. Than an abused wife? Like years yeah. of abuse,
see,
and
down.
Finally,
I'm down. For
you know,
that. I don't
fights
know
back or defends yeah. herself and shoots their husband. There's plenty. There are people who are in jail. There are people who have been successfully exonerated because sure. of that. And how yeah. do we decide? Like,
that's
what's
a good point.
Which ones are bad enough that it's okay to fight back? And
nobody's advocating for murder.
No,
right?
But
premeditated. This was premeditated murder. So. Yeah,
walked into their house with a shotgun.
34 years. I don't know, man. It's just it's kind of freaky. It's kind of like for guy that was 14 when this happened. It's weird for me to think that the Menendez brothers make it out, and I don't think they will. But it's weird for me to think that that's a possibility. And it's
so
probably because I was
into the whole idea
I was,
of rehabilitation.
Well, because I was conditioned to see them as the monsters that they were, you know. So that's it's so a,
unlike O.J. Simpson. Like these guys aren't coming out like, "Who shot our parents? We got to find them."
Yeah.
You know. Like,
yeah.
You know. I don't know.
That's true. I don't think they're getting out, but it was an interesting, interesting case.
All right, Paulie's ready now for the actual traffic report with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan. Going to get into some more Padres talk in the second half of the program. Had a new piece this morning, just kind of going through it right now, from Kevin Acey, Jeff Sanders in the Union Tribune. And as it's kind of long, but they have some potential solutions for Padres' budgetary concerns, like what can you do with Luis Arraez, Jurickson Profar, pitching, you know, catching, role players. How do you replace all those free agents that are leaving that provided a lot of value to you last year? But you can't necessarily pay them all what they are now worth, because that would send you again skyrocketing into the payroll stratosphere, which we've all kind of figured the Padres are hoping to avoid, that same sort of, you know, payroll explosion that happened a couple of years ago.
It's interesting, too, though, because around baseball, I mean, news came out yesterday, the Texas Rangers are looking to reset their luxury tax, Ben, and they're going to be unloading pieces like Nate Eovaldi. There's a ton of guys that they're not going to be tendering or re-signing that will also hit the open market. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, is it always the time for A.J. Preller to continue to go for it? I think he would tell you yes. How much does he have to spend? How much wiggle room does he have? We'll talk about AC's piece and
yeah,
then some.
Yeah, we'll get into that. First, though, a little World Series talk with our friend Jake Mintz from Sensmith's Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports. That's when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.